Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, and I'm also a grain and oilseed broker here at StoneX. Behind me is our energy group. I work with them daily, and in front of us, we got the dairy guys. If you should ever come visit us in the office, throughout the 10th floor here at 230 South LaSalle in Chicago, right next to the Board of Trade. Also have our OTC desk. We've got the interest rate guys. We've got plastics, livestock, meats, and protein. So if you have any questions about anything in the commodity futures and options markets, please let us know. I don't know the answer. I certainly can find someone on the floor who can. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes, give us a positive review. If you are interested in working with us or have any questions, you can call me at the trade desk at 312-706-7610. My email is craig.turner@stonex.com. That should all be in the show notes. And if you're a client, you should have my cell phone. You can always call or text anytime. So let's get on into it. I know it was a bad week for the grain markets, certainly, but let's talk first about the macro markets. So yesterday, we had some of the economics numbers come out. We had Q1 GDP, so the first quarter GDP for 2023. It was not good. We only grew by 1.1% here in the United States. Expectations were 2%. So what happened? Looks like businesses are reducing inventory, which is to be expected. We've been talking about a possible recession for a while. Honestly, I think this is the longest expected recession talk, the biggest runway for one that I can ever remember. So not surprised businesses have been reducing inventory for the expectation of a slowdown. We've got layoffs. A lot of that's been in the tech center. You can make an argument. It's kind of the hangover of, coming out of COVID and now not needing as many online services now that people are out of their houses again. But, layoffs, we've been seeing that. Also, because of the higher interest rates, that means there's less capital for investment and to borrow. So all those factors are contributing to, this recession. And, the thing is, you have inflation. And if the Fed's number one goal here is to fight inflation, because employment numbers are decent or very good, or at least they have been up until recently, they have to aggressively raise the rates. That is what makes, the cost of money go up. There is less capital for investment. So then you start to get businesses to have reducing inventories and layoffs. So it's a cycle. It all starts with inflation, though, in this case. And really the ramping up of inflation is what kickstarted all this, going back into last year. So, that also then brings up the Fed is meeting next week. So we took a look at the other numbers that came out, and for CPI, which is inflation, is at 4.9% year over year. The market was looking for 4.7. So we had a miss on the GDP and we had a miss on core CPI. So growth was not as good. Inflation is still not coming in line with expectations. Or to put it another way, inflation isn't coming down as fast as the Fed thought it would. So here's the big question. Next week, the Federal Reserve will meet for 2 days. And at the end of the meeting, Chairman Powell will get out there and we'll hear what they concluded and are they going to change any kind of policy, meaning are they going to change interest rates? Based on these numbers yesterday, I think the market is looking for another quarter point. So that means the Fed funds rate will go to a range of 5%, 5.25%. What that really means is The Fed funds rate is what the Fed lends to member banks. Then member banks can access that capital and then lend it out short-term to long-term, usually short-term. But if they want to do long-term, not only does that come from the Fed, but also comes from customer deposits at the bank that then go out into like something like a 30-year mortgage. So what does this all, mean, for between five and a quarter? So that rate can adjust, based on economic conditions. It can be as low as five, it can be as high as 5.25. That's how, that's how interest rates kind of go up and down here. At least in the short term. To me, that means we're going to be choppy. There is lower growth. So the Fed doesn't want to raise interest rates to a point where it worsens the recession, but they still see inflation as a problem. The target rate for the Fed and inflation is about 2%. Now, does the Fed come out eventually and say, okay, in the short term, the rate will be 3%? I don't know. Are they going to stay hard line on that 2%? Because it's inflation's been kind of stubborn here. After hitting that peak of what, like 8 or 9%, just like anything else, when it breaks, it can come down pretty fast, and then it kind of levels out or just grinds lower. And unfortunately, the grind has been in the fives and fours. I bet the Fed was probably hoping the grind would be more like the threes into the twos, and that's just not happening. So the Fed has two mandates. The first mandate, well, I don't know if one's more important than the other, but they have, full employment. That's mandate one, and mandate number one. And then mandate number two is probably inflation. Inflation's the worst one in terms of how it affects everybody. So they'll probably continue to raise rates here. All right, so let's move on to the end. I just think we're going to be choppy for a while. Would be interesting, on the S&P. I mean, if I were looking at anything more kind of short term, maybe selling out of the money call spreads and put spreads would be an interesting idea if we think we're going to be choppy for a while. So if anyone wants to talk about that, limited risk ways to sell out further on the curve. It's not a specific trade rec. It's just an idea of the kind of strategy I might take in what I don't think we're going to crash, but looks like we're not growing any either in the meantime. So I think that might be a good way to, kind of play that macro theme of what's going on in the market right now. Give me a call if you want to try something like that. Energy. So the economic slowdown means less energy demand. You can make the case, and I know I have in the past, when you get an economic slowdown, the commodity market that gets hit the hardest is the energy markets, and it's the petroleum side. It's going to be crude oil, heating oil, and RBOB. Natural gas too, but natural gas also has some of its own factors going on. So pure and simple, economic slowdown means less energy demand. And it's not just energy demand for heating and cooling, but, industrial demand for production, which is a lot bigger deal for petroleum-based as it is for natural gas-based and shipping and all that stuff. So OPEC is willing to cut production when crude goes to 70. Seen that? Time and time again, crude gets down there, OPEC makes a cut, and it seems like they're going to defend that price. And I don't see any reason why they would change now. So, I mean, there's almost a put there for crude. If you're a buyer of energy, we've got these lower prices. Eventually, we will rally. But for now, these prices are pretty good. If you wanted to add a little bit of a kicker on it, maybe we're selling put spreads underneath, underneath 70, like, $10, $15 below. And we're just kind of, doing that to add on a couple of dollars. Or take off a couple of dollars on a buy price, down the road, whether you're, regardless, anyone who's a user of energy. So I do think that's an interesting way. I've been asked a lot of questions about securing energy. I think if it's a very large, if you're a large corporation, then it does, I think it makes a ton of sense. If you're more of a, more of an independent operator, small business. I think you don't want to get too far out in the curve, because you don't want to tie up. You know, it's all about capital. It's one thing if you have, you know, an investment bank and a line of credit, you know, behind you. But I think for now, for, you know, major corporation, you probably are going out in, especially in the natural gas side, probably are going out and hedging, you know, out to 2005, 2006, 2007. But you know, for you know, a sole proprietor or a smaller business, I think, you know, I think the play here is to lock in energy for this year and looking into next year too. And then see how things go just from a liquidity standpoint. Let's see what else we got here. One other thing about the energy market, renewable biodiesel, so soybean oil and corn for ethanol. Fortunately, they're bearish, you know, especially for our farmers out here. They are going to be bearish as the energy stays low and during economic, you know, growth. So there's kind of a double whammy on that side, you know, the energy ag side. Crude's low, the economy isn't doing well. So even though we're building all these crush plants, and we do have a huge capacity for corn for ethanol, until the economy turns around and energy prices turn around, which really go lockstep, it's hard to see those being bullish factors. So for right now, they're neutral to bearish factors in the market. And listen, renewable biodiesel is definitely going to be a, you know, a part of U.S. energy policy. Canola oil and canola is now going to be part of that too. So it's almost, you know, and that makes sense since there's, you know, Canada has a lot of canola, United States has a lot of soybeans, and then, you know, the corn for ethanol, and those will help with the energy, you know, energy policy. And it looks like that's here to stay. So, and those are long-term bullish or supportive, but it's hard to be bullish about those right now if we're, you know, if this recession does come in the second quarter, in the second half of 2023. So that's where we are on the energy market. Finally, for natural gas, it's going to be choppy. You know, the spot months right now are low. That, you know, we have, you know, between April and October, we usually have infusions into the natural gas market. So there's going to most likely be infusions into natural gas, meaning we're going to be building supply now until October. You know, we tend not to draw down stocks of natural gas. You know, it's usually the, you know, the strongest months or the heating months for natural gas. So getting into November, December, January, February, March is when we start the tradition. But really, you know, especially now, October into May, and I mean, sorry, April, you know, we're almost in May, you know, right through September, beginning of October, these are, you know, these are build months in natural gas. So hard to see us rally that much. When you take a look at the carry in the market in the natural gas, it's really telling you we're well supplied for a while. And now, just like the grain markets, you know, the grain markets are, you know, it's, you know, basically ethanol, corn for ethanol and energy, and then vegetable oil for energy on the oil seed side. Now, we are starting to hear more about ways to get more natural gas, liquid natural gas exported out of the country. And that'll keep on improving every year. The exports of natural gas in this country will keep on building. And eventually, there will come a tipping point where natural gas does go up. And maybe it can even start acting more like crude oil and being more sensitive to economic, like crude oil, but just not at the moment. So let's wrap up here with the grain markets. It was not a good week for the grains. So let's recap and figure out what's going on here. Corn, canola, and soft red winter wheat, which is the Chicago contract, is transitioning from tight old crop to adequately supplied new crop. Meanwhile, soybeans, Kansas City, and Minneapolis wheat likely stay tight or relatively tight for next year. So, you know, there's this thing that goes on here. We are at the end of April, and we are having basically a tight old crop versus a more abundant new crop between, you know, corn, especially canola, which has already seen a transition, and then soft red winter wheat. So, you know, old crop corn has been led by strong cash prices, We were showing that in the May-July spread. That May-July spread is still strong. But recession, lower Chinese demand. We haven't seen a lot of Chinese demand in Brazil. We even had some of the cargo executives talk about that publicly. And we've also had good new crop planting weather here in the United States. And there's no reason to expect why Canada wouldn't have some pretty decent new crop planting weather either when everyone's in the field. So the market broke. And it's hard to buy when new crop looks bearish. Plus, when that old crop demand isn't there and everyone's concerned about China, and then China starts canceling exports. So the market kind of fell apart because, A, if old crop is strong, old crop will lead up until a certain point, even in the face of a bearish new crop picture. But once old crop breaks, because there's now demand concerns, which I think China canceling and that news about China not buying enough, you know, basically ramping down purchases down in South America, really, you know, really had a lot of people throwing in the towel there. And then you take a look at the new crop balance sheets. We had a big sell-off. You know, July is going to be at, what, 578 now, 580. And we've got December down to about 530. So it is, you know, it's a tough one out there for some of these markets. And honestly, you know, where the low is going to be is when demand picks up or we have some kind of weather issue, which we're not having right now. So it's, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on here. When you take a look at, you know, and also energy, you know, energy and economic growth is not picking up. So when I take a look at something like corn, you had tight old crop and strong basis, but now we're concerned about old crop demand. New crop, 92 million acres and a 181 trend line yield should be, you know, a 2 billion carryout next year. The economy is not growing. Energy is bearish. China's canceling corn. So then the only thing that can really help corn out right now is a weather issue. And I just looked at the drought monitor and, you know, Kansas looks bad for sure. And, you know, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas don't look so great either. Kansas looks worse, but take a look at that drought monitor. Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas has some problems, and Kansas looks pretty bad. Eastern Corn Belt is fine. Northern Plains are okay. The Delta is pretty good. The drought monitor looks a lot better than it used to. And, you know, now it's hard to talk about too much drought, except for really kind of Kansas and the surrounding states over there. And we are, you know, getting off to a good start. So there's definitely going to be pressure on corn here. Usually you get highs in corn in May and June, but sometimes they come early. And it looks like just between, you know, the funds and the sentiment and what's going on in the market now is looks like, you know, these things, maybe we have broken early and the highs very well could be in for the year. A lot can change. It's only the end of April, but, you know, at the moment it's hard to envision $6 new crop corn. And, you know, July corn getting back into the sixes even seems, you know, like a tough sell right now. So when we take a look at some of the other markets, like soft red winter wheat, we increased acres by 15%. You know, that is dragging the market down too. So when you're thinking about feed, when you think about soft red winter wheat on the Chicago side, the lower protein soft red winter wheat, you know, will go into feed. You know, corn is feed, and you were expanding those stocks. Now high protein wheat like Kansas City, Minneapolis will be tight year over year, but if the rest of the market's going down, you know, that could, you know, bring down those too. So can Minneapolis wheat hold $8? You know, let's take a look at Kansas City. I know we have drought. For sure, you take a look at Kansas, you know, and, you know, the question, you know, we had rain out there this week, which also added to the selling, but Kansas wheat in July is now about $7.67. I mean, is $7 to $8 for high protein wheat appropriate if corn's going to be $5 and soft red winter wheat, Chicago contract, you know, is somewhere in the low sixes. You know, and when you take a look at those price differentials, they do, you know, that nothing is out of sorts there. So what does that mean? So those are the more bearish markets of the grains. The more bullish markets, well, and canola too. The thing is with canola is at 21 million acres and a trend line yield. You go back to adequate stocks too. So we've got canola, corn, soft red winter wheat, all transitioning from tight old crop to well-supplied new crop. And if old crop demand gets weakened, which it is, and you have prospects of big new crop production, you get the sell-off. So I don't think this is a one-time sell-off. We're looking at the economy. The economy is not growing. The economy is looking at a recession. That's also a headwind on the grain markets here. Now, for the bullish spotlight on some of these markets, which I think there's too many headwinds to fight right now, is soybeans remain elevated, but soybeans don't need to be so high. Like, we don't need, at these price levels. Also, stocks are likely tight year after year, but Brazil could have 158 million metric ton crop, which is a big crop. That is a very big crop of soybeans. And then you get the reports come out of Brazil that Chinese demand is slow. And then you're asking yourself, well, should November be at 12 bucks? If November is at 12 bucks, you got a 2.5 ratio. Let's say soybeans are kind of tight, but corn isn't tight at all. And the price relationship should be two and a half to one, right? In that kind of relationship. $12 soybeans means 480 corn. $11 soybeans means 440 corn. $10 soybeans means $4 corn. Now, $10 soybeans and $4 corn, I think, are both markets are adequately supplied. But if soybeans are going to be tight, could Dease corn eventually be five or maybe a little bit lower, trade in the whole, in the high fours if November soybeans goes down to 12 bucks? That's kind of a reality now. And if you're a farmer, do you want to, what's that going to mean for you and your marketing? If you are a buyer of commodities, you're probably seeing these breaks and, you should be securing old crop because you just never know. You never know when the weather changes and what's out there. But on the new crop side, I'm sure there's not that much buying for coverage out there, which is a problem, right? For the farmer, good for the end user, but bad for the producer. And commodities eventually revert back to the mean. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We're going, in these markets. So just a little bit of a recap here. When we're talking about, the macro economy, the overall outlook, we are getting closer, it looks like, to recession, and the market's reacting to that. You can see that in the energy markets too, in energy prices, and kind of just the 70 to 80 range in the crude market. And the only reason we're above 70 is because OPEC makes it that way by cutting production. And then finally on the grain side, corn, canola, soft red winter wheat, so that Chicago contract, transitioning from tight old crop to adequately supplied new crop. Beans and high protein wheat like Kansas City and Minneapolis may still remain tight, but it can't fight the macro economy. We can't fight the economics and the energy markets right now. And if we don't have the demand, especially on the export side, especially from China, that's going to be a problem. So the drought. And if you look at the drought number, I'll post a picture of that. It doesn't look so bad. So, path of least resistance is lower. There's no reason to get excited about the grain markets right now until some weather issue happens. The old crop will finish up as old crop, just depending on who needs what by the end of the marketing season. And it looks like next year's prices get more in line with historical values. Maybe add on 15% for inflation, since 2019, or maybe even 20% of inflation for 2019. But, corn, we used to, in an adequately supplied market, we would trade, $3.70 to $4. I don't know, maybe that's $4 to $4.50 now. Beans used to be a high eights to mid nine, maybe $10 in an adequately supplied market. Maybe the new range is, a $10 to $11. We'll just have to see, but we are going to start seeing what some of these lows look like. Just a little before we wrap up here, probably the most interesting one I was watching was oats. Oats went to a well-supplied market, so much so Canada's only producing I think Canada's planting 20% less acres this year. So I've been saying for a while, what are the new lows? What are the new lows going to be when you have adequately supplied markets? Now, even something like oats is still going to remain a little bit elevated just because all the other commodity markets are still high. But oats used to trade between $2 and $3 from kind of tight market to adequately supply, to burdensome markets before COVID and all the inflation. Now it's been between $3 and $4. So, you know, but that's also with corn in, you know, the 5, 6, 7 territory and soybeans at 12, 13, 14 and wheat being, you know, 6, 7, 8. So we'll see how, but it is interesting though. You know, we had a 20% drop in acres and the lows for oats were 3, and that was the first market to get to fully back to go from a tight to a burdensome market. And, you know, there was definitely some inflation on the lows there. So that'll be something we're going to keep an eye on. If you need any help with your marketing, if you need any help getting coverage in some of these commodities, please let us know. My number here is 312-706-7610. Email is craig.turner@stonex.com. I think we will eventually get a weather rally. I think the weather rallies, we don't need to, you know, if you're a farmer, you can sell those weather rallies as we go up. If you are a buyer of commodities, you know, you should be securing old crop, getting that out of the way, and then focusing on the new crop and most likely lower prices next year. So that is where we are. Have a great weekend, everyone, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.